We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
And it's the whole idea of requiring restaurants, particularly chain restaurants, to put calorie counts, nutrition information on their menus. The idea being, well, let me get Charles Hughes on here. He's a policy analyst at the Manhattan Institute, and he's here for a few minutes this morning. First of all, Charles, good morning, and thank you for giving us your time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Oh, God, it's great to have you. The point is, you know... Well, what's the reason behind this? Let's just start right there. What would be the rationale behind this? And was this part of, like, Michelle Obama's lunch program or the ACA?
Yeah, this was a provision that was tucked into the ACA. And the rationale is that if you give consumers access to easily understandable calorie and nutritional information, armed with that information, they will choose to make healthier food choices and reduce the amount of calories they consume, which then would have positive spillover effects on things like obesity and obesity-related health issues that end up costing a lot.
My guess would be the person who wants the linguine at, the spaghetti factory or whatever the heck it is, some restaurant, is going to have linguine no matter what the calories are.
Well, exactly. When you think about the number of steps that kind of have to break right for the nutritional information to have a substantial effect on what they're choosing, it's kind of easy to see why so many of the literature reviews and so many of the studies fail to find that these provisions are effective at doing what proponents want them to do.
Well, in fact, Charles, I read a couple of years ago, I think it was Mayor de Blasio or maybe it was Bloomberg, one of the two, was forcing restaurants to put up the menu information anyway, right, on the board when you walk into the place. And what these two professors, I think it was, can you tell that story? Are you familiar with that? I think it was New York University, someplace like that.
Well, I don't know if I'm familiar with that
okay.
One. I know that in some of the cities, people will alter their food choices, but then inadvertently, in a couple of the case studies, they increased how many calories they were consuming in beverages, so the net effect was ambiguous, and sometimes even more. And part of that's because you mentioned, a guy going to a chain restaurant getting the linguine, having to perform the complex set of calculations to
right.
figure out where he's ending up net is not something he was planning to do. Not something he may be equipped to do at the time,
right.
And it's just not something that's really reasonable to think that anyone walking in on the street just looking for a nice meal is going to bust out the TI-83 calculator.
Well, look, I mean, if you want to have a Big Mac, rather if it's 475, 500 calories, you don't care. You want a Big Mac. Are you going to change to a salad? Probably not. But the study I was talking about was New York. I think it was New York University. Anyway, this guy, before the law went into effect, went in and went to a McDonald's. I think it was in Bronx, Brooklyn, someplace. And he started collecting menu receipts, all right? So he took a look at those, added up the calories consumed, so on and so forth. A year later, after the law had been in effect, he went back and actually found that people were eating more. So maybe that goes to your whole theory about the sodas.
Yeah, I think, at the first level, it makes some intuitive sense to think that if you just give people information, then it'll be very easy for them to make the decision.
Yeah.
But life is much more complicated than that. You see this across a host of policy spheres. It's always more complicated, and there are sometimes unintended consequences or the costs that kind of aren't as visible. Make it fail the cost-benefit analysis in the end.
One of the points you bring up at economics21.org, which is where this I found this, is the fact that there are big fines involved in this. And you were talking about the Domino's pizza and the challenge they face, because I don't know that any two, first of all, there are millions of combinations. Number two, can you make sure each of those is the exact same calorie count?
Well, exactly. You and I might like pizzas that are worlds apart, and Domino's, in order to have the complete nutritional information, I think it's in excess of 34 million combinations. And to ask them to go through all of that, besides just the monetary cost, that's hundreds and hundreds of hours that they're having to sink into this. And the other thing that I mentioned in the piece is that these requirements kind of, they were written or inserted into the law some years ago, and things have changed in terms of how people order. They're more doing through digital channels now, so requiring stores to put them in their physical storefronts makes even less sense.
Charles, I'm going to recommend one app. I've used it for years. I find it very useful. It's free, Calorie King. It'll tell you any fast food restaurant. It'll tell you, you know, most restaurants that you would know, chain restaurants. It has them all. So, I mean, you know, why mess with this? When you, if you're curious and you're watching these things, then get Calorie King and you can find it right there.
I think that's exactly it. People who aren't interested, there's a huge market for helping people eat healthier, and when they are interested, that's where they make the actual change. And there's a host of new breakthroughs, new apps, whatever it might be, to help them do that. So it's not that we have to insert these sometimes ineffective and certainly costly provisions.
And, you know, in addition to the fines, which can be really serious for each violation. Hey, Charles, it's been wonderful. I'm going to get you on again here, if I may, sometime. Do you mind?
Oh, I'd love any time.
All right. Economics21.org, also the Manhattan Institute. The man's name is Charles Hughes.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.